Welcome to the Quilt Fiction Story Guild podcast, a podcast exclusively for members of the Quilt Fiction Story Guild. I'm Frances O'Rourke Dow, and we're reading my work-in-progress friendship album, 1934. Thank you for joining us, and as always, thank you for being part of the Quilt Fiction community. Now, on to the story.
Chapter 6. Once again, Eula's Monday night quilting class was full. In fact, there wasn't a free chair left in the room, which she pointed out to the young woman standing at the classroom door. "Registration closed 2 weeks ago, I'm afraid," Eula explained, steeling herself as she saw the woman's hopeful smile collapse. "So even if there were an available seat, I still wouldn't be able to let you in the class."
"Now, Mrs. Baker, you know that some rules are made to be broken."
Caroline Meacham, Eula's star pupil and the class's unofficial leader, called out.
"We can make room and squeeze another chair in here."
"Oh, no, I couldn't ask you to break the rules," the woman said with a rough shake of her head. "It's such a shame, though, that I missed the registration deadline. I just didn't know about it is all, and this is the first time I've ever gotten Mother to take care of the baby. Ever since my husband passed."
She clapped a hand over her mouth.
"I'm so sorry. I'll stop taking up your time. Thank you so much.
But she'd already turned around and was heading out the door before she finished her sentence.
"Well, at the very least, let's get her name."
Caroline Meacham rose from her seat.
"I'll just go after her and find out who she is."
Eula surveyed the room.
She had 12 students, and all of them, minus the absent Mrs. Meacham, looked troubled by what just happened.
"I just don't know what I can do," Eula told them, as though someone had voiced a complaint.
"We really don't have room for one more. I'm not in charge of registration."
"Well, Betsy and I could squeeze together," Louise Stott offered, pointing to the woman sitting next to her.
"Betsy's so tiny that she's really only half a person."
"But which half?" Betsy asked with a grin. "Right or left?"
"Oh, you know what I mean," Louisa protested.
"Really, we could make room, Mrs. Baker. And given this is a paid class, I think the city council or whoever's in charge won't mind a bit. Won't you reconsider?"
Eula felt herself softening. The woman had looked awfully disappointed. "What do the rest of you think?"
"I don't know," Mousy Evelyn Hale whimpered. 13 is an awfully unlucky number."
"But if you include Mrs. Baker in the count, we have 13 now," Louisa pointed out. "So really, we need another person."
"If you believe superstitious nonsense," Betsy put in, "which I don't."
Louisa smirked.
"I've seen you go a mile out of your way to avoid walking under a ladder. And Lord help us all if a black cat crosses your path."
Eula smiled at this bit of silliness, but she still felt uneasy and wished Mrs. Meacham would come back and settle the matter.
If she brought the woman with her, well, fine. They'd pull a chair from the room next door and squeeze her between Louisa and Betsy, who really was tiny. The quilters would be holding the work in their hands most of the time, and besides, it wasn't unusual for at least one or two of them to miss class. Children came down with fevers, or the friend who was going to watch the little ones couldn't make it at the last minute. The girls who never missed were the ones whose husbands didn't mind looking after things in their absence, but there were only a handful of those. Most men felt tending children was a woman's job and wouldn't step in to help unless the straits were truly dire.
"I've brought her back, Mrs. Baker," Mrs. Meacham announced breathlessly at the doorway.
She pulled the escaped woman into the classroom.
"I told her you were a person of uncommon kindness and would find a way to include her, if at all possible."
"You can come sit with us, honey," Louisa said,
coming into the room, dragging a chair behind her.
"Betsy's going to pull in her middle, and there won't be hardly anything left of her to get in your way."
The woman looked at Eula. "I don't want to inconvenience anyone."
"I think we can work it out," Eula promised. She picked up her class ledger. "Why don't you tell me your name, and I'll get you on the books."
"It's Lena Weatherford," the woman said shyly.
"My mother-in-law was teaching me how to make quilts when my husband passed 3 months ago.
I've been living with my folks ever since, but my mother doesn't quilt. Her eyes are bad on account of being sick as a little girl.
Well, I'm sure you'll do just fine here, Eula assured her. Most of the girls just started quilting this past fall.
I just love piecing a quilt more than anything in the world, Mrs. Weatherford said as she followed Louisa to the other side of the room. I've made 5 quilt tops so far, but I haven't quilted even a one of them yet. With a baby and all, I never had the time.
Well, we should have a bee, Caroline said. She looked around the room. What do you say, girls? Who else has a quilt that needs quilting?
More than half the women raised their hands.
Well, that settles it. Now we just need a place to quilt and a good day to gather.
Caroline turned to Eula.
Any ideas, Mrs. Baker?
Later, Eula would wonder if she should have kept her mouth shut.
It just popped out, she told Dan that night when he picked her up after class.
But now I wonder if it's such a good idea. I mean, Florence might not want a bunch of people at the quilting company on a Saturday. She might feel like she has to be there, and Lord knows she works awfully hard all week. She deserves to have a Saturday at home. Dan laughed. My guess is that Florence will be thrilled. First of all, it's good publicity for the quilting company. She can write about it in the next catalog. And there's plenty of space up on the 4th and 5th floors. She should turn the 4th floor into a regular gathering place for ladies to come quilt and chat. Maybe Florence could have a monthly quilting bee, Eula mused. Quilters could come from all over the city. And from the countryside, too, Dan added. How many women do you know from Homerville who would love to have a day in the big city, sewing on their quilts and maybe taking a picnic down to the riverside if the weather's nice?
And when the weather's bad, why, we could have a tea party inside.
Eula laughed. Install some cots on the 5th floor for napping, and you've got a regular dream come true for nearly every quilter I know.
It's not a bad idea, Dan said.
Put in a shop and a tea room and quilting frames, and you've got a whole new business on your hands.
It's a wonderful idea, Eula agreed.
But again, I don't know that Florence has time for all of that, or
that anyone does. Everyone is so busy nowadays. Emmeline with her new column, Bess working at the church, Dorothy with all those grandchildren, not to mention her housekeeping job.
Although how much longer Dorothy would keep her housekeeping job remained to be seen.
Eula turned to look at the houses they were passing on Eastern Avenue, some of them dark, their occupants gone to bed, others with light shining from behind drawn curtains. Her first reaction to Dorothy's confession that she was thinking about leaving Bess had been stunned silence, but she'd quickly recovered. In fact, Eula was surprised she hadn't anticipated the problem from the start. 3 grown women in 1 house. No, make that 3 highly opinionated, strong-willed women in 1 house
was, at the very least, 1 woman too many. Still, it saddened her to think of Bess without Dorothy and Dorothy without Bess, even though surely Dorothy would stay a part of the Wednesday Bee, wouldn't she?
But how likely was it that her next employer would allow her to take Wednesday mornings off for quilting? And there was no question that there would be a next job. Dorothy had hinted to Eula that without the extra money she was making by designing patterns and contributing articles to the quilting company's catalog, she and Wallace would have a hard time making ends meet. Eula turned back to Dan. If Florence was going to turn over a floor to make a gathering place, I think it would need to be on the 1st floor, don't you? You wouldn't want folks having to climb 3 or 4 flights of stairs.
Well, what's on the 1st floor now? Dan asked. The sewing machines?
That's right.
The 1st floor is the sewing room. The 2nd is the offices and the mail room.
Right now, the 3rd floor is a nursery for the workers' children, and the 4th and 5th floors are mostly storage and some quilting frames. You could put the sewing machines on the 3rd floor, move the nursery up to the 4th, leave the offices where they are, and just put the quilting frames on the 1st floor, along with a couple of coffee pots, Dan finished for her. Eula laughed. Well, I do like the idea of coffee being served, but no, there needs to be a nice room with tables and tablecloths, with tea and cakes, and maybe some sort of shop where ladies could buy fabric and patterns. The tea and cake shouldn't cost too much, so that you'd feel like you could treat yourself without having to empty your purse.
Well, who's going to make the cakes? Dan asked.
From my experience, Florence isn't much of a cook.
Not that she'd have the time.
Well, she's getting better, Eula insisted. Don't you remember that cinnamon bread she gave us at Christmas?
Dan nodded. It had a real nice flavor, that's true. But you have to admit it was a little on, well, the dense side. Solid, you might say.
Too much milk and not enough soda, Eula agreed with a sigh. I knew it from the first bite.
Still, I'm proud of her for trying so hard. But no, she doesn't have the time, even if she did have the talent.
But Dorothy might have the time, Eula thought, and Dorothy was an excellent baker.
Not only did her cakes and pies taste wonderful, they were always beautifully decorated and presented, so that before you took your first bite, you admired the way your strawberry pie or your lemon cake looked on the plate.
I suppose I'm getting ahead of myself, rearranging Florence's business for her, Eula told Dan as the car turned west onto Cherry Street. But I can't help but love the thought of the ladies from my class coming to quilt together on a Saturday and having a cup of tea and a piece of pie mid-afternoon. If their children needed watching, why, we could pay someone to watch them in the nursery.
Be careful not to spend all of Florence's profits in one place,
Dan warned her with a grin.
Well, I think she'd make more money than ever. Sure, she'd have to pay for a baker and for someone to manage the tea room, but if it gets people into the shop...
That doesn't yet exist, Dan pointed out, and we'll also need an employee to run it.
If it gets people into the shop, Eula repeated, ignoring her husband, why, they'll buy all sorts of things, and they'll pick up catalogs and buy from the catalog as well.
Because everybody's got so much extra cash on hand these days.
I'm just saying... Eula stopped, because she wasn't quite sure what she was saying.
I'm just dreaming, she amended.
But I think it's a dream worth discussing with Florence and maybe Dorothy as well.
Dan was quiet for a moment. It was the kind of quiet that meant he was thinking before he spoke.
You need to be careful about Dorothy, he said finally. If she quits her job with Bess, it won't be an easy thing for any of you. Certainly not for Bess or Dorothy, but not for you either. It'll throw things off balance, which doesn't mean she shouldn't quit, but I do think it's going to complicate a situation that's been fairly easy, in spite of the fact that your little sewing bee is a motley crew.
Now it was Eula's turn to ponder. The fact was, she'd been hoping this year would be one where things settled down. 1933 had been a good year for Eula, but it had been filled with surprises at every turn, from her niece Maisie coming to live with them, to getting an unexpected daughter-in-law seemingly out of the blue, to that same daughter-in-law announcing she was pregnant. Eula had become an award-winning quilter, a professional writer, and a teacher. You had to admit that was a whole lot for a mere 365 days. 1934 was supposed to be the year where things got calmer. She'd be a new grandmother soon, but otherwise Eula planned for her life to move in a predictable and orderly fashion.
I'll keep your advice in mind, she told Dan as they turned onto Hale Avenue. You're right, if Dorothy quits, it's going to disrupt things. But only for a little while, I hope. After all, Bess will surely see the sense in Dorothy's leaving.
Dan raised an eyebrow. Are you sure about that? On paper, it might make sense, but human beings aren't made out of paper.
Tell me at least that you don't think I'm crazy for wanting to set up a Saturday bee at the quilting company, Eula said.
And maybe a tea room.
And a shop, and who knows what else.
Dan laughed. I don't think you're crazy at all. Maybe that's where you could hold your class, too. Get everything into one building. Simplify things.
Simplify things. Eula liked the sound of that. Simple was better, she thought. Simple was best. She leaned back against her seat and sighed. Too bad simple was almost always impossible.
Thanks for joining us on the Quilt Fiction Story Guild podcast. We're reading Friendship Album 1934, a novel by Frances O'Rourke Dow, a production of Milton Falls Media, Incorporated. Copyright 2022, all rights reserved. Until next time, this is Frances O'Rourke Dow. Thank you for joining us.